You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 5, Episode 13, The Song Remains the Same. Castiel sends Sam and Dean back to 1978 to stop Anna from killing Mary and John Winchester.
Digicast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, here in my living room with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Well, hello there.
Hi. And we're also joined down in Texas by our two experts. We've got Annie.
Hello.
And John Pavlich.
Greetings.
And our other newbie down in New Orleans, Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
And we are guest-free for this episode.
Wah, wah.
I'm sure that Hazel the cat will come and add her 2 bits.
She may. All right. It's funny, the title of the episode, I know it's a song title, but I always think of the of Brian Ibbett's Musically Challenged from Coverville. He always had a round on Musically Challenged, which was called The Song Retains the Name. And it would be like clips of two or three songs that were like, you know, obscure parts of the song, so it wasn't like the title part of it. And you'd have to guess the song title that both of the songs shared, even though they're not covered. It's not like covers of each other or anything. It's just, you know, songs that have the same name.
Ah.
And then the artists.
Oh, I don't know.
It was neat. Anyways. That's. I mean, I think Coverville still exists, but that's the long ago podcasting time, as far as I am concerned. Yeah. It's one of the originals.
Okay, I have songs going through my head now. I do.
You have songs going through your head?
I do.
But not the song. Remains the same.
No.
Okay.
Lots of other ones.
You're like, oh hey yeah, because there's that song that's called that.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. I don't know.
No, there's only one of those.
I don't know.
Play a song for me.
All right then.
I'm not sleepy. And
so we've got a summary from Supernatural Wiki because I totally forgot to ask anybody else to write a summary for this one, and we just watched it, so none of the newbies could have.
We're all good. Well, I guess if I could have, but she was busy.
Of course.
Looking.
I was partying.
She's like, later, losers. I'm going to a party.
She was partying.
Bye.
So, but yeah, so we've got a summary. It's a little on the slim side, but that's good compared to last week, the last episode that they had.
Novella.
Yeah.
Novella.
So, should I go for it?
Do it.
Interrupt me wherever you like. What are you doing? You ready to pounce? Is that?
I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. So, it's a little early.
He said interrupt, not scare.
Yeah, I don't know if it counts as an interruption if you start if you do it before I start. Anna appears in Dean's dream.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it was a sexy dream he was having.
Oh yeah, okay. What kind of sexy dream?
That like stripper dream or whatever.
Yeah, stripper dream, the angels versus
She's
devils.
So I was a little excited when this came on because I was like, oh my god, the Satan stripper is actually going to be like whoever Lucifer is. But no, it was just like some meaningless, like nothing of a person. So that was too bad. Missed opportunity.
Nobody is a meaningless nobody of a person.
That's
everyone.
No, that's
right.
You know what? Most people are meaningless nobodies of people. But
I can accept
that. Strippers.
Damn.
You know,
I can
strippers
accept that.
Or not.
Yeah, but then you meet them and then they become real people, you know. But
there you go.
What do you have, object permanence? Like, you don't, they're not real until you meet them? Like,
oh, wait a minute. Oh, jeez, hold on.
But it was one of the children knocking it over that was the alarm.
It was.
There you go. Okay. Strippers.
Yay!
Yeah, strippers.
The kitty disapproves.
The kitty looks disapprovingly.
Paul said that, and the kitty looked at me and put her ears back.
Oh.
She's, argh. She doesn't like that. You know, Kitty doesn't like strippers, does she?
No, she just she hates it that you called them strippers. Strippers. They're exotic dancers. Exotic. Show some respect.
Do you like pole dancers, Kitty? She does. Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Pole dancers worked.
Yeah.
It was all in the tone. Okay, so yeah, Dean's having a dream about being in a strip club alone for some reason, and he's all right with the devil, if that's the devil. Apparently.
And I wish it was, because it would be more interesting, but whatever.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of Lucifer in his vessel lately.
Yeah, wouldn't it, let's imagine this is opening was really, like, Satan and God stripping. Amazing. So much better.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm imagining things.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What,
blasphemous rumors.
Does that mean that we end up seeing God at some point during this season? Perhaps?
I feel like we better see God. How can we have Satan and not have God, right?
No,
like,
I thought he was dead.
Well, that's what they're saying, but maybe he's just on hiatus.
I don't know. I saw her waiting for Godot. I know how this ends.
I don't know. So anyway, Anna appears in the dream and tells him that she has been held prisoner and tortured in heaven after Castiel turned her in. But she's temporarily escaped.
When was the last time we saw Anna? I can't remember.
When she was sucked away into heaven, I think.
She
was, Castiel asked her to meet him, and it was like at the docks or something like that. And she got,
disappeared. She turned up to, you know, give Cass a hard time because he was allowing Dean to torture.
Right. Okay, so that's a ways back.
That was a while ago, yeah.
But she was, like, pals with them, right? Like, so this is, like, a new shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of painful for her because she does like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But her, you know, logical analysis of the situation says that Sam has to die.
It just, like, logically... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, basically, she and Castiel switched roles.
Okay.
Because if you remember, Castiel, when he first came on the scene, he was telling Dean that Sam, like, was going to turn bad and it was inevitable and something must be done.
Yeah, well, what a moment there for Cass when he's like, you know what? I don't care. Sam is my friend, and if you try to touch him, I will kill you.
Right?
That's some character development.
Mm-hmm.
So the plot of this is Anna goes back in time, right, to, like, stop him from being born, because then he can't...
Yeah, she goes back...
The rest of this thing can not play out, right?
Yeah, but it's interesting. She only goes back in time to prevent Sam from being born.
Right. Why wouldn't you try to prevent Dean from being born? Isn't he the one who, like, let your boy out in the first place?
Yeah. So she picks it. Well, of course, if Sam's not born, then John Winchester isn't on a mission to hunt down all of the, you know, hunt down the yellow-eyed demon.
And yeah. Sam, I mean, why not just kill... to sell his soul? Or Dean has no reason to sell his soul.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to follow that train of thought, go back like several generations and just kill any one of their ancestors.
Well, of course,
you know, like kill a grandfather or something.
Well, of course.
Well, the whole thing was she was gonna kill
yeah.
Mary, yeah, so neither of the Winchesters would be born.
Still prevents Dean from being born. That's true.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. Anna decided to go that route and go back in time and try to prevent, you know, the conceptions after Cass threatened to kill her if she tried to touch Sam. Was that because she didn't think she could take Cass?
Yeah, is this her last resort? I mean, she's like, okay, well, if I really can't get past Cass, I think to some extent she was just thinking this is a, you know, I don't have to fight another, I don't have to fight Cass.
She was just like, okay, what's plan B, you know?
I mean, whether she thought she could take him or not, she didn't even have to make that fight if she can go back in time and do this thing instead.
Exactly.
Right. I think on some level she still has a lot of affection for Cass.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when he tells her, because she's was upset. She was like, "You sold me out," and he was like, "That was a mistake. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, he meant to, but he's sorry. He just can't say he's sorry.
That's what that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, so anyway, in the summary, we've kind of moved ahead a little bit, but basically, she can't meet up with him because of the sigils on his ribs, but she asks to meet. Castiel ends up meeting her and has the Angel Blade with him, and while she says that that Sam has to die, he's basically says that you got to go through me, and she decides to go to 1978 instead.
That's like the biggest letter opener ever.
Yeah, really kind of is.
I like it.
I'm sure they sell versions as a letter opener, even though they're probably smaller. Supernatural, swag.
Do people even really use letter openers anymore?
They still have them all over the place.
I don't use one.
People still use
it. I don't use one, but I have one on my desk at work because it just came with all my other desk accoutrement with the office.
Interesting.
So although I also never get letters at work, so I don't even know what I would be opening.
I have seam rippers. They're kind of like letter openers.
Yeah, for seams.
For seams.
Letter openers for seams.
Yeah, working a bench.
Castiel and the boys follow after Anna going to 78 to protect Barry and John, but the trip has some serious side effects on Castiel, and they stash him in a motel room.
I would totally love to just rent a room and sleep for 4 days.
That would be nice. No, so he's completely out of the way for the rest of this episode, right? He gets them back in time, and then he's gone until he comes back
until the end. Yeah,
get back to the regular time period.
I would totally love that. It'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
For 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never gonna happen.
How did they get back? I guess I wasn't paying attention. Does take them back, or did Michael send them back?
Michael sent them back with a little touch on the forehead.
Yeah, he sent them both back.
Yeah. Groovy of him to send Cass back too.
Well, Cass had just worked it out on his own afterwards. Maybe.
Send himself back.
Maybe, or maybe he sent Cass back too.
No, I think Cass did it himself. That's why he's
still messed up. Yeah,
still all messed up. Yeah.
Seasick.
Yes, because when you're seasick, you bleed from your ears and nose.
Hey,
true.
I just might.
You might.
I don't know.
Anna
did vomit blood once.
Oh.
Yay.
Yeah. I had norovirus and I vomited blood.
Mm.
It was horrible.
Yay. Okay. We'll move on from that.
What, you don't want to hear of my tales of norovirus?
They spend a lot of time.
It's a different podcast.
Norovirus.
Welcome back to Yuckcast.
So the boys meet up with their parents, but Anna manages to lure John away by impersonating his boss on the phone. But Dean, Mary, and Sam do manage to get to the rescue and send Anna away using the Angel Banishing Sigil.
Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
So, nobody fixed the boss guy.
No, he's got his eyes burned out. She showed her true form to him, apparently.
Right. But then nobody went back and fixed him. So, John's boss just, died and had his eyes burned out. And everybody's like, oh my god, you hear what happened?
I
was saying, most people are just irrelevant, don't even matter.
Well, when Michael said he was gonna scrub their minds, I think he actually took them back in time a little bit before all this happened.
I don't know,
because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense to scrub their minds. They would just be what are we doing in this house, where are we, why do we,
Take him back 12 hours or something and fix it all up. Yeah.
He is an archangel. I'm sure he has that ability.
Time turner.
There you go.
Get back and turn back time.
Time turner. Tina Turner.
Cher.
That's Cher.
I know it's Cher. I'm just vamping over here.
Just making sure.
Yep, all right.
I gotta get the legs going. Just like Tina. You know how Tina does the leg thing?
All right, wait. Cher is still alive. Is Tina Turner dead?
No, I don't think so.
No, she's still alive.
Okay.
Sonny's dead. That's the only one.
Yeah, no, Sonny's been dead.
Sonny met that tree a long time ago.
He's been dead.
It's true. Oh, and Ike. Ike's gone.
Is Ike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ike's thankfully.
Right. Okay, then. Now that we've got our surviving rock stars worked out.
Elvis Costello, dead or alive?
Alive.
He's alive.
Roy He's Orbison, alive. Dead or alive?
See, this is something
dead.
That Darcy.
Dead.
This is something that Darcy. Darcy, for some reason, can't keep Elvis Costello and Roy Orbison straight for what they do or whether they're alive or dead.
I mix it up all the time.
Is it because they both wear glasses?
Yeah, yes. It's got to be.
It's the ugly glasses that they wear, and I can't.
Oh my god, Elvis Costello's glasses are cute. Doesn't he just wear like classic Wayfarers?
Not anymore.
Well, what does he wear now?
He's not.
Elvis Costello.
No, he's not dead. Roy Orbison is dead. Wow, you're bad at this.
Wow.
Although I guess I'm bad because I'm looking at him now and he's not wearing Wayfarers, but they are Ray-Ban.
You're killing me.
I am not. It's that cat.
Giving me a look that could kill.
We've got some weird tangents in this one, guys.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, young Elvis Costello is really cute. All right, yep. Roy Orbison. Let's check out his glasses game.
Don't look.
Well, that's all because he wore shades all the time because of the stage lights.
Also, him without shades, I can see why he wore shades all the time. Not an attractive man, that one.
Wow.
Lord. He was probably talented. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe you. I mean, he's no Elvis Costello, but...
Well.
To each of them.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So now, Sam and Dean are explaining the situation as best they can without revealing too much to their parents, in theory. And...
Is this a scene where Sam is all like, "You're so beautiful"? And I'm sure that's nobody's quote, because it was just creepy.
That was earlier on, but yeah.
Okay. So weird.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't imagine. I was like, "Sam, what the?"
Yeah, who does that? Like, I've seen pictures of my mom when she was young. She's like a pretty lady, but I would never be like, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful."
Yeah,
just
never,
weird.
Never.
I think it was more of a sort of existential.
Yeah.
Existential observation. Beauty. Like, it's the first time ever seen his mom alive.
Mm-hmm. So he's kind of looking at her in awe, you know.
Wait, didn't they travel back? Oh no, that was Dean, that traveled back in time. Okay,
That's why Sam was the way he was when they first went to the door.
I forgot. I forgot that they weren't both. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Still weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Yep. John's like, "What kind of cousins are you?"
Very close.
So beautiful. The kissing kind.
Yeah. They end up at Mary's parents' cabin.
I just remembered there is such a thing as wincest.
Yeah. You gotta rope.
Yeah, of course there's such a thing as wincest. This entire show is predicated on it.
While preparing the house, Dean and Sam tell Mary who they really are, and that their maybe not being born could solve everything, so she should leave John. But Mary reveals it's too late. She's already pregnant with Dean.
Wah wah.
Yeah, I worked that out kind of. I mean, not necessarily the math and everything, but I was like, this, you know, as they were leading up to it, you know, that she should leave, I was like, wait a second, maybe
1978
kind of works out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up, you know. I mean, like if Anna had picked just a few months earlier, she could have still prevented all the conceptions and everything without having to kill both Mary and Dean.
There was a really awesome solar eclipse in 78.
Hey, Tim, my ear's online. I don't know why.
Let's
I felt like blurting
else
that out. It just
in 1978.
It's like a tick with me. Anytime he pops up, I'm just like, hey.
You don't remember it, do you?
Vaguely.
Oh, here's some stuff. The Copyright Act of 1976 takes effect in 1978.
All right.
Hooray!
All right, a referendum in Chile supports the policies of dictator Augusto Pinochet. That's very topical for us now.
Yeah, there you go.
The Holy Crown of Hungary is returned to Hungary from the United States, where it was held since World War II.
Yay!
Oh, just a bunch of stuff, y'all. It was a happening year, 78. Was anyone here born in 78?
I was born in 79.
All right, well, that's
I was
the same.
Two.
73 here, 72 over there.
Hey!
All right, well, I wasn't born yet. But...
I'm old.
Yeah. Vietnam attacks Cambodia. That's depressing. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Indira Gandhi was arrested and jailed for breach of privilege and contempt of parliament.
What?
Wow. Artificial insulin was invented. That's amazing.
Yay!
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's 78, you guys.
78.
It's a good year.
All of this could have been going on in the background while the show was happening. I'm going to think about.
And I was, kindergarten yet?
You're in kindergarten, yeah. So I was in the first grade.
Yeah, kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yay.
First grade.
Oh, and Jensen Ackles was born in 78. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's...
There you go.
Ah... That's why they did that.
But okay. Dean was born in 79.
But he was conceived in 78.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Takes some time to cook.
There you go.
He's cookie dough. He needed to bake.
Thank you. No. No.
Center oven rack. 375.
What?
Shove him in that oven.
I said center oven rack 375.
Okay. Little longer.
Slow roasted.
A little longer than 15 to 20 minutes.
Well, a little longer than that, yes.
So golden brown.
Ours weren't golden brown. They were kind of red.
Yeah. All right, then. They all end up going up against Anna and a young Uriel, whom Anna recruited, in a fight in which Sam is critically injured when Anna stabs him with conduit she pulls out of the wall. It says a pipe here. It's pretty sure that's conduit, right? Maybe it was a pipe. That's an old cabin, though. Looked like conduit. All right. A pipe that she pulled out of the wall. John tries to help out as best he can by allowing Michael, who has joined them, to possess him to save his wife. Michael kills Anna and sends the young Uriel back home. He explains to Dean that the two brothers and their family line go all the way back to Cain and Abel, and that what's coming must and will come.
Okay.
Y'all, that was so stupid.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me.
Well, theoretically, everybody goes back to Cain and Abel, right?
How?
Not everybody.
Everybody.
Like, this means that we're supposed to believe that, like, the biblical cosmology is, true, right? Because if there was a Cain and Abel... It must have been real if these people are the descendants of them.
Well,
so,
technically, we're all descendants of them. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, right? So there you go. We're all related.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew,
it just doesn't.
You're my brother. That's gross.
No, some kind of cousin.
It's just so illogical and dumb. Yeah.
Some kind of cousin. Indeed.
All the things I can't say right now.
Holy Trinity, you guys. Three spirits and one ghost. Sort that out.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
They're the Son.
You don't know that one?
No, I mean, I know about the Holy Trinity, but what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, just the weird thing, you know, like you said, it's like, it all sounds a little silly. Like, well, there's also that.
Sure.
Right, and that's the sort of thing that, like, if you're proposing that as, like, a tenant on a TV show, I guess that's fine. It's just so, like, it's just almost, like, too close to what people really think is real. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it seems like if they're going to make up, like, some weird mythology, they should just make up, like, a weird mythology, like, borrowing from this.
No, it
just, I don't know. It just seems so... weird.
No. They've been borrowing from other, like, you know, quote unquote real religions.
Yeah, real religions.
Yeah. So
no,
I mean, I know, but it's like to this point it's just been like, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you take, when you took a humanities class in high school, did they study the Bible as
Bible as literature? Yeah.
Yeah, we did too.
Yeah, I had to take that class too.
I think they do that on purpose because, like, they have to do it like that because it's like a separation of church and state thing. So, like, we have to study this as literature.
Oh, and Ms. Petuzak was a former nun, too. So, there you go.
There you go.
I'm really glad my dad wasn't a priest. Worked out for me.
Yeah, it works out pretty well for you. Yeah, you're Catholic.
Not really.
Not really, no, but sort of.
Really
raised.
Well,
sort of raised semi-Catholic.
Semi. I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't. It, no, my dad was. His heart was not in it.
No, clearly.
Clearly.
Funny. My mom used to. She used to have this joke, you know, when people would find out that she was raised Catholic, and they'd be like, "Oh, why aren't you Catholic?" She was like, "Because I was raised Catholic."
Recovering.
Yeah, I have to say that, like, I went to a school that was run by Jesuits, and so I was definitely taught theology, but also, like, those people are pretty hardcore about, like, thinking for yourself just accepting things. And so I can't imagine a better education, honestly, like, because from the very beginning it was like, okay, well, we're going to tell you a story, but you don't have to believe it, and you should probably question it. And if you do believe it, then you have a better relationship with God. And
well, that's kind of like the best thing for anything, really. You know, just like, you know, healthy skepticism. You know,
that was what my dad learned when he went to school to become a priest, was that you should question it, and you'll find your own answers. And
it's kind of like a nicer version of the 100 level courses that weeded people out of the architecture program, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, everybody question everything, and if you find out that you understand and you believe it all to be exactly so, then you're definitely ready for the next step.
Yeah, he didn't make that part. He got a degree in humanities.
And an accounting certification.
That was later. He did that. He went to night school when we were kids.
All right.
I have a very good friend who went through seminary and has a doctorate in theology and was becoming a priest, and he dropped out, like, at the very last minute. He changed his mind, realized it wasn't what he wanted to do. But he's, like, also just, like, the smartest, like, most badass person, and I, like, kind of wish he was a priest, because, like, I feel like it would probably be really awesome for the church to have somebody that cool, like, as a, you know, and he's actually really, really active in the church. He just decided he didn't want to be a priest anymore. But yeah, I just, like, I'm like, wow, you're just so smart. And, like, I don't know, maybe I should force him to watch Supernatural and see what his feelings on the theology are.
Now that would be a podcast worth listening to.
Yeah. I agree. I maybe I'll ask him if he's ever seen it. He might have. He likes pop culture a lot. So,
hey listeners, our podcast still worth listening to?
All right, look, there's no point in listening to this pile of crap.
Our opinions mean.
We're getting close to the end of the summary already, because they're pretty pretty short with us. Yeah. So. He says that Dean must agree to be his vessel when the time comes, and as he leaves, Michael heals Sam and sends them back to the present, and makes sure that Mary and John will not remember any events of the day, so that Dean and Sam Winchester are born. And Dean's whole, let's prevent this whole nursery thing from happening is foiled again.
Wow.
And that's the episode.
Dun, 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 dun.
And everybody wakes back up at the hotel room, and Castiel is there and more or less okay. Other than it all bleeding from the orifices and collapsing.
It looked like he had a bad trip.
Yeah.
This was such a weird episode, because I feel like it seemed like a lot was happening, but then in the end, like, nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Lots of things happened with no consequence, other than whatever consequence it has on the boys, who are at the end contemplating the whole thing. Well, everybody says we're going to say yes, but we're not going to say yes, right? And I was kind of thinking that if for some reason somehow Sam ends up saying yes, I can see Dean saying yes, if those circumstances happened, I could see Michael convincing him that there was a way to save Sam by saying yes. Because that's what he did to John. He said, hey, say yes and I'll save everybody.
But if Sam said yes, then Lucifer would be in the vessel, and, like, the whole point would be to fight to the death. Dean, I don't think, would be down with that.
Yeah, I could see it a lot easier, though. I mean,
yeah.
More than just say yes before Sam does, so that we can prevent things or anything like that, definitely.
I want to step back a little bit and mention a my favorite, I think, scene in the episode that was completely skipped in the summary. And I, when we were watching it earlier and doing the commentary, I was like, I think Sam just won this episode for me. It's the scene where he's talking to John, and John doesn't know who Sam is, but he takes the opportunity, and it's just such a beautiful, heartbreaking scene where he gets to say all of the things that he wished he could say to his dad, directly to his dad, who doesn't understand the context, but it's still, it's just so, there's so much just sad pathos there where Sam is just like, if I could, I would tell him that I forgive him and I understand. And I know what a, you know, terrible situation he was in, and he tried to do the best, and I understand that. And that's a huge leap from, you know, where Sam started at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that during that whole thing, I was like, well, how does John, this guy who's like, well, how could you ever take children hunting, turn into John? But then again, there's like I said during the commentary, there's that whole wife pinned to the ceiling and burning to death. It's a big motivating factor.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
Plus, he doesn't remember any of this. So.
Yes, yes. But it was interesting to see, you know, John, who's see a version of John where he's like, that's totally not the life for children.
Mm. Yeah, and Mary's reaction when she, you know, realized that her sons were raised to be hunters. That was so sad. It's like, This is the last thing I ever wanted for my children.
Well, and again, it's about, you know, switching positions on stuff and perspectives, because again, you know, John has that, you know, he says that about like, it's no parent should ever put their child through this. And for the longest time, Sam resented his father for doing just that to him. And, you know, he had that viewpoint that his dad, you know, expresses in this episode. So, you know, again, showing how much alike they really are. And so it's really interesting, you know, when you have that hindsight and history, you know, with the show, you know, going back all the way to the first season, then it's really, it adds so much weight and pathos to the material here.
You know, they keep filling things in more and more, and I'm still really curious, and things that happened in this episode and then got wiped out of memory.
Not for Sam and Dean.
Well, not for Sam and Dean, but seriously for the parents, I'm still curious about that. You know, would there ever have been a time, or had there ever been a time where her hunting past came up, and actually was revealed before she got killed in the nursery? And I'm curious about that, because it came around in this episode. You know, he had no idea that she had done that all her life.
Yeah.
And now he still has no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think as far as we know, like if you look at like the first season or whatever, John didn't know about her past until she was killed by the yellow eyed demon.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So then he just found out about hunting and did all of that on his own.
Mm hmm.
Wait, no, he didn't know whenever Dean went back in time?
No.
No.
Okay, I don't think I ever realized that.
Yeah, because remember in this episode when they meet back up, and he says to Dean, like, oh, you look really familiar. Because in that episode, Dean spent most of his time with Mary and not...
Yeah. You're right. It just never dawned on me that he didn't know, which is... It just never occurred to me.
They did have the conversation about which car to buy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a brief encounter, comparatively. Okay. Well, yeah. So apparently, it may never really get. I mean, it apparently is not. Apparently, it didn't never happen. Like you said, that John went all the way to the nursery scene, not knowing anything about hunting, and then developed it all on his own afterwards.
I mean, I'm sure he had help from, you know, like fellow hunters and stuff.
Right. Of course.
He knew Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were others. And Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Although, how did he know them if he didn't know anything about...
Probably.
Like, how do you even meet them?
Probably through Mary.
So you think that he knew them through Mary, but didn't know that they were hunters?
No, after when she died, I'm sure. Because she was a hunter who died. So I'm sure a lot of hunters came together and probably
contacted him. Okay,
yeah, probably like at her funeral or something. You know.
Okay, yeah, it's interesting. There's a big part of the backstory there that probably isn't ever. Well, there isn't any reason because the boys don't really have anything to do with it that isn't really ever covered.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So who wins this episode, in everybody's opinion? I know that Annie already has put in her vote.
Yeah, just because of that one scene, I'm going with Sam.
And I would agree. I would say Sam.
I'd say I'd also agree.
I would, but not for that scene, but for the sigils and the angel out of here.
Doing the sigil at the right time.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm cool with Sam. All right. That means Sam wins it.
Yay.
Winchester's it.
Winchester. Oh,
Wincest's it. I don't know.
Stop it.
All right. We've got feedback. I don't think we ended up with any Facebook feedback, but we do have an email. I just quickly double check the Facebook. But like I said, I don't think there was any.
Did Simone say something?
I have it open.
Okay.
Let's see. Scrolling down. Simone said something about changing channels. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yes, we do have something from Simone.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and read that because I don't have that up and ready.
Sure thing. Okay. So Simone says, Anna, Uriel, Michael. Gosh, there are so many quotes in this one, lol. I love this episode. I love Sam finally talking to John and getting kind of closure. And I love Dean trying to keep his mother from dying again, even if that means him and Sammy aren't born. And I love that Mary buys an angel trinket and says, angels, look over you. Dean, Sammy, and Cass, hashtag team free will.
Hey, I can't remember. Don't we normally do quotes before we do feedback?
That's true.
In case someone accidentally lets a quote slip in their feedback.
Well, yeah. It's probably fine.
It turns out it's fine this time, but we could do quotes between, or we could finish the feedback. Let's go ahead and finish feedback since we're in there.
This doesn't look
cool. All right.
It doesn't have a quote in it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Simone, very much.
All Yay, right. Simone.
And we've got from Nutty an email. And Nutty says, I love this episode. This is one of those episodes that shows how much of Supernatural was planned out from the beginning. There are a couple of times where things are mentioned in earlier seasons and we see the proof that it's connected here. While Mary's memory is supposed to have been wiped, she still knows angels are watching over her kids. Or Dean at least. We learned this early when Sam tells Dean that. When Dean tells Sam that. Dean never believed it though. Also, I find it really interesting that Anna goes back to when Dean has already been conceived to kill John. So she's only getting rid of Sam, not both boys. I'm not sure. I never really...
No, she went back to kill Mary.
Yeah, I got the impression she went back to kill one or both of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mary's the only one that really needs to get killed for that.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't necessarily clear, because I think a couple of us are sort of not sure what the plan was.
Yeah, I think they said in the episode, or at least they were concerned. It's like, oh, it's our mom and dad. So I think she was going to kill both of them.
Yeah. I kind of got that impression. The angels care about Dean. I love the acting by all and the reactions. I love how John thinks it's messed up the boys were raised as hunters. I have even more to say, but not for many more seasons.
Oh my God. What?
Oh, and apparently Jensen Ackles was in a Dawson's Creek episode of the same name.
Love it.
Thank you, Nutty.
Thanks, Nutty.
Oh, my God. Nutty, I'm, like, really shocked that she only has feedback for a couple more seasons.
No, that's not what she means.
No, she has more to say about all of this situation, but she can't say it.
But later.
Oh, okay. I thought she meant she, like, stopped.
She's kind of spoiling you is what we're getting at. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Well, that's fine. I just didn't want to lose Nutty's, like, guidance. Right. I was
Don't
really
worry.
Worried
It's all going to be okay.
Whew. All right.
All right. Well, now we can quote the heck out of things, although I and Darcy and I suspect Yvette probably have no quotes.
Hell no.
Nope. I got nothing.
Homie, don't play that. Hey.
What do you got, Annie?
Oh, I have a ton. I have way too many.
Yeah, you're the best.
Quote away. Quote away.
Okay. Ready? Not ready. Really, but we have to try. Bend your knees.
The mustache is alone.
This is what you dream about? Awkward.
You know, I have a question. This is kind of related to what Annie was just saying, and kind of not. But, like, do you think that if you were magically transported to 1978 and you were just walking down the street, it would be that different? Like, I guess cars would be different.
Yeah.
And fashion is, like, marginally different, but it's not that.
I mean,
I
remember
it's pretty different.
So, it is a lot different. I mean, the things... there's a lot of things we take for granted now that didn't exist. If, like, don't walk... I mean, at least where I live, we didn't have the, you know, the flashing...
The flashing hand or...
It's not just... It's not just an aesthetic thing. It's not just about, like, oh, like, the way people dress and the way they have their hair. People behaved differently back then, too.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, how? Tell me. What do y'all mean?
Oh, my gosh. You know, well, this would have been, it was a period where finally your mother was allowed to go to work and she wasn't
looked at. Yeah, this would have been around the time of women's liberation and everything. Right. So
78? I thought that was like earlier in the 70s.
Well, you know, it was earlier, but when did
But it took really a while to like, yeah, like you it's know, not.
And we're talking Midwest here. It still was not acceptable.
And that's
my
the thing. Like,
didn't have a job until we moved.
Anybody that's a mother, especially, but single women were more liberated than married women. Married women took a longer time to come out of the shackles or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Right. Well, because just they were older, and so they came from a different generation, and also like just because you know these sort of, big events happened, like women's liberation and the civil rights movement from the 60s, it was still close enough to those time periods where, like, that stuff was still sort of going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. We were still injured from Vietnam. That was
still... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was still going on.
What I mean is, like, is that something you would notice just walking down the street?
Walking down the street, I've got to think is, like, if I watch a movie that's actually made at that point and was contemporary, I think the things that I would notice the most, and it might just be me, would be, like, the fonts on signs. And, like, the grocery store would have mostly marker prices and things like that in the window instead of,
I remember.
Oh, that's a good, that's a really good one.
Painted signs in the window. I remember that was just the way it was. Price stickers. Everything was a price sticker. There's no barcodes.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so, walking down the street, yeah, I think that's the kind of thing I would notice is, like, signage would be all, the fonts would all be.
It would really just, depend on how observant you were, like if you did a lot of people watching.
I think the hair would be an immediate dead giveaway.
Oh yeah,
all the men with those like lion manes and the girls with the wings.
Yeah,
sideburns, lots of sideburns.
Well, I guess I'm asking, and I love this information because it's great. Because part of my job is I will just look at a building and then I have to go back in time to see what it looks like and. Most of the ones here look exactly the same as they did in, 1949 or 1849. So, like, I'm not sure if the streetscapes would be that different and things like signage here. Like, you're not really allowed to put modern signs on buildings.
Right.
And even street signs have to look the same way they used to.
Yeah,
That's... Like, when I would see things like even just, like, lamps and light posts, I'm sure have changed and...
Oh, yeah.
Crosswalks and things I never think about that sort of stuff which it's awesome to think about
and that's one of those certain parts of the country are very much frozen in time like on on purpose because it's about retaining your history and
the city ordinance like pretty much froze time in 1936 so you couldn't really do much after that.
The apartment
I'm in right now. Like, you can tell that this thing was built in like the 50s and hasn't really changed much at all. So,
yeah, there's,
well, that's a 1950s were a really cool time for architecture. So that's a cool, mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed, and I've thought to myself, large parts of Superior, Wisconsin, and it wasn't preserved for any particular reason, but there's large parts of Superior, Wisconsin, where you can go down the street,
yeah.
And aside from a storm door or two, it could be the 20s, the 40s, the 60s, or the 70s, yeah. Or the 80s, mm-hmm. Anything. It could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
bless you.
It's just all of the houses are, you know, look pretty much exactly like they should.
The other thing, too.
Yeah,
not
much has changed there.
A lot of like apartment buildings and, you know, homes, they're older than a lot of people realize they are, you know, because mm-hmm. it's things we take for granted. But like a lot of the, like, you know, when you go into a residential area and you see houses like right next to each other and they all kind of look the same, like that was a big thing in the 70s. So, you know. Like,
right, yeah. And if you go to like suburbs, at least the suburbs here were all built in the 50s and 60s. So it looks like a 1960s atomic neighborhood because that's what it is.
Yeah.
So if I'd walk down that street in 78, it would look exactly like that. But yeah, cars are going to be different. People are going to be wearing crazy different clothes. Nobody's going to have a cell phone, so poor them.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Time travel episodes always make me think about like actually like time traveling. Like, what would I be doing? What would I be thinking?
Means they're doing their job.
And I
yeah, for sure.
You know, I really want to see. I really am interested. I mean, probably just because of my age or whatever. But I really want to see some '80s stuff that really seems to work for me for '80s. And I know that Legends of Tomorrow did an 80s episode in their first season and they were all like in in warehouses and stuff, and I was like, well, that's disappointing.
I know. Well, at least they had shoulder pads and things, but like, and crimped hair, but like, yeah, I was an 80s kid, so anytime something takes place in the 80s, I get all excited.
Did you have any of y'all watched Black Mirror?
No, but I want to badly.
The most recent season has an episode that takes place in the 80s.
Yay.
And then later on in the episode, we fast forward to the 90s. And then we fast forward a little more into the early 2000s. And they do such a good job. So, like, I remember the late 90s and early 2000s because that was, like, my heyday, I guess. And so, like, that was, like, that spoke to me on, like, a bazillion levels. And I was like, they did such a good job of it. It's a great episode.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you're not going to – if you're not going to really make those distinctions, then why bother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do it. You know, go big or go home. I forgot what I was going to say. You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been – somebody ring the bell.
I don't know.
Yay, time travel.
I don't know where it is either. Completely gone.
Do we have any more quotes, or should we move on to rating this thing?
Let's rate it.
All right.
Ratings.
Who wants to go first? John?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I really like this episode. I always enjoy it whenever, you know, we get more backstory with the Winchesters and we get to go back in time. And the actors that play their parents are really, really good, and they're always fun to watch. And we got to see the actor who plays John do something a little differently, you know, when he played Michael. So that was really fun. You know, some good character arc stuff with Sam and Castiel. So, I really like this episode. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 iron fixtures.
It was okay. Again, there was a lot that happened, but I really kind of felt at the end, I was like, they better deliver next time. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 Pinto wagons.
I do agree that the fact that it kind of got the reset. You know, we're going to change the world. We're going to change time, and then it got a reset at the end. Was in the end, somewhat disappointing. Although, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, destiny is destiny. You're not going to have major changes. You're not going to have Sam and Dean wiped out of existence because we've got a whole lot more seasons. Season 13 just approved, y'all.
Yep.
Oh, God. Jesus.
I think that, in all honesty, I believe that at least one of our children, if not both of them, will be moving out of the house.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe when we get to the later seasons, we can just binge watch like 10 episodes at a time talk about it.
Yeah. We've definitely cleared a lot, though. Because while IdgetCast officially last week had a fifth anniversary, most of that was in the hiatus between the old guard and the new folks here. So, but we've gotten through five seasons in about, 2.5 years, something like that.
Is that all? Really?
It's not been very long.
Has it been 2.5? It feels like not that long to me at all. I only thought it had been like a year.
It might be less than that. I don't even.
Well, because remember when we first started, we had David was part of our crew. Yeah. So, and that's been a while ago. So
it's been a long while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
So anyway, continuing my rating. So yeah, I mean the fact that they had a reset at the end was both, you know, good and bad for me. But like you said, the boys still remember everything.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to take away from this episode is that it's not as much about plot and moving the season forward. It's about character for this episode.
So I'm going to give it a slightly higher rating than you did, Darcy. But I'm going to go 7.5 out of 10. Hotbox Firebirds.
All right, Annie.
Okay. I love this episode. I think it's one of the best that the show, you know, has to offer. But that's because I'm a huge fan of like the deep, deep mythos and story arc episodes. This one is filling in gaps, you know, things that we didn't know before, and it's planting seeds for many, many seasons down the road. The reset thing, it at the end, it does feel a little bit kind of pointless, but I think it's kind of painting an interesting contrast between, you know, the futility in the episode of trying to change the future, trying to change destiny, and this growing determination to buck destiny. This whole, is this the first time we've heard the phrase team free will?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I won't say anything else about that, but there's quite a lot of, you know, destiny versus choice. It's a big theme.
Well, and that's been a big theme running throughout the entire show, really. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the end of season one, you know, Sam, you know, having it out with his dad and everything, because his whole thing was about, you know, I was never given the choice, and I chose of my own free will to not have this life, and that, you know, made John super angry. So,
right, yeah, it's a particular theme in this season, and it's, I don't know, it's,
well, that it, makes it sense does, given that it's the last season for Eric Kripke,
mm-hmm. or at least, yeah,
yeah.
Right. But there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it that, you know, will become clearer later. It's just, it's got all the feels, which is, you know, kind of my thing, the heart wrenching family tragedy and, the guest actors, I think, both of the young Winchesters are absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am going to give it the highest rating of 10 out of 10 Bloodlines of the Holy Dicks.
Wow.
Yeah. The only time, anytime you see me give something a 9, it's usually because I'm grading on a curve because I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Annie kind of took my rating system, but not entirely. So I'm still going to use it. It's partially there. So, I had some.
Is it all about dicks?
No. I had some problems with this one. Namely, that there are no consequences, right? Like, nobody remembers what happened except for Sam and Dean. And that makes it feel kind of hollow to me.
Isn't that in itself a consequence? that they're the only ones who will carry that?
I mean, how? Like, the other people involved in that storyline are dead. So how would it matter if they remembered it, like, years ago or not? I don't know. Or maybe it would. I don't know. I guess I just... It feels hollow and it feels, like, pointless, I think Darcy said. And I agree. And I don't know. The Anna character seems to have weirdly 180'd. Like, I don't really get what happened with her or why she was making the choices that she made. But I do like time travel. So that bumps this one up a little bit for me. So I'm going to give this one a 5 out of 10 convoluted, ridiculous biblical bloodlines, which makes this episode a 7.5, which is very good. Well above average.
All right.
Yay.
Well, hey, John, what is our homework for next week then?
Well, Paul, our homework for next week is Season 5, Episode 14, My Bloody Valentine. Fun fact.
I love that band.
Fun fact. Jensen Ackles starred in a remake of the film My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, okay. That is fun.
Is that before or after this episode?
I believe it was right around this same time.
Wow. Well, how about that?
So I think that's why they did it.
So this is some kind of like a love spell gone wrong. It's like a one-off episode with a love spell gone wrong.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
French fried potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's getting up on bedtime for everybody, so unless anybody has anything else to say, pregnant pause.
Popcorn.
I'll just say happy hunting.
Bye. Happy hunting.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at Facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is idgitcastpodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from quadruplez.com. John Pavlich can be heard on Castlecast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle at castlecast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/sofadogs.
Annie is currently acting as global coordinator for Can't Stop the Serenity, a worldwide series of charity screenings of Joss Whedon's Serenity, benefiting Equality Now. For more information on Can't Stop the Serenity, including event listings and how to host an event, visit www.can'tstoptheserenity.com.
Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on quadruplez.com.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, jeez. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Oop. Oh, no. That was the gate falling down.
What is going on, and nope. Why are we out of bed?
It was just the gate falling down.
Are we getting in bed now? Are we getting back out again?
Maybe.
If we do, what happens?
Hell cracking break. Skulls.
We lose our phone.
Mess with the bully. Ooh. Get the horns.
That's right. I have to come getting back in real. Here. I'm cracking skulls.
Yes, grounded.
My mom used to take away my books.
No more reading for you. How dare you expand your mind?
He's not reading.
She knew that was where to hurt me.
Yeah.
Not my words. Don't take my words.
Did you get sent to your room?
Yeah, it was all right. There wasn't a lot going on in my room.
I always had a great time. I never had a
pet. Me too. You can send me to my room anytime because I had like a TV in there and a bunch of books. Like,
yeah,
see, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't have the books taken away. Yeah, there was no TV in there, but
I had a bunch of books and loads of toys. Mm-hmm. It was good times.
Well, there you go.
And then not only that, but the bathroom connected. There's a bathroom that connected to my room. And if you went through the bathroom, you could go into my parents' room. And they had a TV in there. And if you turned it down real quiet,
they didn't even know you were looking.
They didn't know you were looking.
Wow. So you could watch.
Anytime I got sent to my room, like even though I had toys in there and stuff, like I didn't like the fact that my mom was mad at me. So that was like enough for me. Like that was like that upset me enough. So I didn't want to play with my toys. I was just like,
Yeah, I don't know. My mom was like scary.
So. Yeah, some reason whenever I imagine anybody sneaking away and watching television in the middle of the day because they got in trouble, it's just the Price is Right for some reason.
If I did something bad and I got caught, I'd immediately start crying. And my mom would be like, I didn't touch you. Like, I didn't do anything yet. I was like, I know, but you're going to.
I tried really hard just not to have anything happen because my mom was... Well, my mom was undiagnosed bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
It was damn scary.
That's yeah, my mom was a Taurus. So.
Yeah, my mom was a
Taurus.
I'm a Taurus too.
You are. You're also very stubborn.
No.
Shush.
No.
Yes.
No.
You get what he's doing?
But you know what? You want to know who's more stubborn than Paul? It's one person. Iris.
Is it you?
Iris.
And then there's one person that's more stubborn than Iris, and that would be me. So
I don't even think there's a place for this in the podcast, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry.
Not even at the end.
Okay. Why?
Not interesting enough.